My name is Michaela Leek, and I'm here with Patricia Ricks on the 3rd of March, 2016, and we are in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Is it the 2nd?
No. Okay, could you tell me a little bit about your childhood?
I was born in Atlanta, Georgia, April 15th, 1950. I was the youngest of three children. My brother Walter, Edward Ricks III, my sister is Cynthia Laverne Ricks McDuffie. I lived in Kings Mountain when I was about 2 or 3 years old, and then moved to Durham, North Carolina with my family, and grew up in Durham. I attended Burton Elementary School and Whitted Junior High School and Hillside High School, and had a very happy family life, very happy childhood. Yes.
So you talk about school and having a happy childhood. How was your interaction with your teachers and classmates?
Well, I was very quiet, and I was, like I said, the youngest of three, and my sister was 15 months older, and we were in the same grade throughout, so we would be together a lot, and she was very outgoing, so I didn't really need to talk that much. I enjoyed school, and I still enjoy learning and reading and writing. So I interacted with the teachers very well. I was brought up to believe it was very important to get your lessons. So my mother, who was a teacher also, made sure that we got our lessons and really didn't have any housework to do except on Sundays. So all we really had to do was to get our lessons, get home, get a snack, and get our lessons and our homework and that kind of thing.
What did your mom do?
She was a second grade teacher. Okay. Elementary education was her major.
Mm-hmm. What about your dad?
He was an attorney, a trust officer at McKenzie Farmers Bank. Yeah.
So are you and your sister really close?
Yes, we're very close. Yes.
Where is she now?
She's in Laurinburg. She's the principal of Laurinburg private school there, and so she's there with her family.
Mm-hmm. So what brought you to UNC?
Well, it was close and only 12 miles away from home, and my father and mother had three children in college at the same time, and my father felt that it was an economical issue, and it was a thrifty choice to go to an in-state school, and so that's how we ended up. My sister and I both went to Carolina. My brother also went, but he went to Morehouse first and then transferred to Carolina, and then but he didn't finish. He went from there to Central Law School and then went back and finished college after law school.
So what was student life like at UNC while you were there?
Well, it was very, very challenging. We had a lot of homework, a lot of classwork. The main concern we had was doing well in the classes and getting our homework, our classwork, and graduating. That was our main focus. At the time, there were, I think, about 70, if I'm not mistaken, 70 blacks at the school. And so it was it was a situation where this was the first time I had been to a predominantly white school, and because all of the schools that I had been to before were segregated. And so it was a challenge socially and intellectually. Yes.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
Okay, well, when we first got to Carolina, my sister and I both decided we were going to go to the same school, like I said, because of the economics and because it was a good school close by. And so we, at first, we had been roommates throughout. And so we decided, oh, we'll see if we can branch out and learn other people, get to know other people, and we would experiment. We decided that we would go. And I think we first signed up for different dorms, East and West Cobb. And we said we would, you know, get other roommates and even stay in different dormitories. Well, when we got the assignment, they had assigned us to the same dorm. And so we were both assigned to Joyner. And I don't know if you're familiar with Joyner, mm-hmm. but I was assigned to 308 Joyner, and my sister was assigned to 315 Joyner, which was down the hall, not in the same, it was on the same hall, but there were, I don't know what you call it, but it was,
like suites.
Right, maybe suites, well not really suites, they weren't really suites, everybody had a room, but it was further down the hall than the immediate area, if I'm making myself clear. So when we first went to Carolina, it was my brother, my mother, and my sister and I. And everybody had a bag or a box, and we were taking things up. So we went to my room first, if I recall correctly. And when we got to the room, which was 308, there was a young lady there, already there with her parents. And when we came in to the room, I had never talked with her, never seen her or met her. We introduced ourselves, you know, as her roommate, that I was her roommate. And so they seemed to be very surprised, and they were a little less than cordial. They spoke, but they were less than cordial. And so we went on back and got another load, and when we came back up, they were gone. And there was no note or anything, but they had left. And so we proceeded to go ahead and finish putting my things.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Okay, so we went ahead and finished putting my things in, and then we put my sister's things in her room. And so her roommate was already there. Her roommate was Patricia Speaker. And so they got along fine the whole 3 years. Three of the 4 years they roomed together and had a very nice relationship. But the young lady who was placed with me, like I said, they were no longer there when we came up with the second load. And the week after I moved in, I received some flowers with a note from her saying that it was she was sorry about the way things happened. It wasn't her, it was her parents who didn't want her to room with me. And so I never really got to know her, but we would see each other in passing going to classes throughout the years, and we would always speak and smile like that. And after this young lady moved out, I was assigned a a junior transfer student by the name of Glenda Lemons, and she was from Murphy, North Carolina, which I had never heard of, but she was so friendly and so nice, and we got along fine. And we would go out on Friday. She loved to go to the movies and to dinner. So on Fridays, we would treat ourselves to going out to eat and at the Rapscala on Franklin Street. And we would go to the movies. And we enjoyed that. She would come home with me. And I remember she was very friendly with my family, my mother and father, and my brother, and of course my sister. And she taught us how to fix beef stroganoff. And we would enjoy that, and I would, for years after that, I would fix beef stroganoff with that same recipe. So we enjoyed each other. And she graduated, I think, being a junior transfer student, she was ahead of me. But she took a little longer than she had anticipated, but she was still, you know, ahead of me, so I think the third year, we roomed 3 years together, and then she graduated. And then the fourth year, I didn't have a roommate, so my sister and I decided that we would treat ourselves. And my father allowed us to stay at Granville, and we roomed together, and that was very enjoyable. So we spent a lot of time together. We commiserated with different challenges and adventures and all. And of course she met her husband there, and they're still married. So we would have a lot of fun together.
So the first roommate you had that night after your parents left, she never came back?
No, she moved to Cobb is actually where she moved. And so I never saw her. But it was, I don't remember it being a long period of time before the second roommate came, Glenda. And so she was just very vivacious and funny, and you know, she was just, you know, fun to be around.
Mm-hmm. And Glenda, she was white.
Yeah, she was white. Yes, and the first one was white, right? And Glenda had a best friend, Marlene, who was white, and she lived across the hall from us, so they would be in the room together a lot, looking at television, and I would be mostly doing my work and laughing off and on with them.
Mm-hmm. So Granville, I know now it's like where the richer people stay.
Yeah.
Is it? How mm-hmm. was it back then?
It was like that then too. Yeah, it was. We had our own suite, and we ate in the cafeteria. But the food was much better than the Pine. Is there still Pine Street? The Pine Street Inn in Lenore Hall, mm-hmm. where we ate. It was not really that good.
Tell me about Pine Street. Where was that?
Pine Street was, as I recall, it was beneath Lenore Hall.
Mm-hmm.
It was a smaller cafeteria, but it was, the food was better. I remember eating the omelets. The omelets were really good. Cheese omelets, ham and cheese omelets. And you could get a lot of better food, like hamburgers, cheeseburgers, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
At Lenore, it was just very bland, as I remember. Yeah.
So anything else about, you know, student life, like the story you just told me about your two roommates?
I remember that the black students got along together and would socialize. Sometimes we would go to different events that were on campus, different dances, and that was fun. Kind of stuck together. And also there would be sometimes parties in the city of Chapel Hill, so we would go there. I enjoyed going to not so much the football games at Carolina, I would go to all the basketball games though, because and my sister and I would get up early. I remember we would have to be there like 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning to get a good ticket. And so we would get up and stand in line so we could get tickets to the basketball game. And of course, my sister's boyfriend, who later became her husband, was working with the JV team in some capacity. I can't remember exactly, a trainer or something like that, or water boy or something. So so we would be at all the games, all the basketball games. And I did go to a few of the football games, and like I said, the movies and going out to eat, that was fun. I don't remember going to church that much, but I did enjoy coming home on the weekends, you know, getting away and being back in the familiar territory at home in Durham. You know, we would ride the bus sometimes, and it was during the time of the civil rights demonstrations, and I remember it was, I think my sister was in one of the marches, but my brother, there was a curfew at one time, and he came over and just to see how we were doing, and then and broke the curfew and went back. And another thing I remember too was being in the Black Student Movement. I was a secretary of the Black Student Movement, and we were trying to help the cafeteria workers who were in the union, trying to help them to acquire more rights. And so we were pretty active with that, and it was an unforgettable experience. And like I said, because it was very segregated in the school, we did stick together. Like I said, I had my sister, and you know, we had friends that we, you know, would fellowship with, and so that made it nice.
So you mentioned that you didn't go to the football games that much. Was there a particular reason?
Well, let's see. I think at the time I was dating a young man who was at North Carolina Central, and so a lot of times I was in Durham on the weekends, and my sister was there because she was dating someone at Carolina. I don't remember having that many dates in Chapel Hill, just maybe a few. But most of the time I was in Durham on the weekends. Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned going out with your friends to eat. Mm-hmm. Were the restaurants and the diners and stuff, were the like waitresses and stuff, were they nice to you? Did you experience anything?
Well, yes, they were very nice. That was one of the reasons we went. They made us feel very much at home. And I remember the manager's name was Lloyd, and my roommate had a kind of a crush on him. And she had a crush on Sidney Poitier as well. So I remember going to see To Sir With Love, and so she was crazy about him. But yeah, the Rapscallion was just very comfortable, and the food was delicious. They had the strip steak with grilled onions, and this delicious bread, and the apple pie with apple pie a la mode. Oh, we just, and the Coke. It was to die for. Yeah, that was nice.
So you mentioned going home to Durham. Mm-hmm. It was comforting. Was it, would you consider the atmosphere a lot different there than back in Chapel Hill?
Well, it was like night and day, yeah, because, well, it was my family. And it was basically a segregated lifestyle during that time in the 60s. Once I got there, I got to Chapel Hill in 67 and left in 71. So in that Chapel Hill, it was integrated. And in Durham, it was segregated. And so it was a familiar situation, a familiar social life, you know, of church and friends and parties and movies. Everything was familiar. It's just like the way it had been throughout my whole life. But in Chapel Hill, it was academically focused. Like I said, it's, you know, the main, I mean, there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I knew why I was there, to get my lessons. And so, you know, it was like staying up late. I was introduced to coffee for the first time. I was introduced to no-doze, so I could sleep, I mean, so that I wouldn't get sleepy while I was studying for an exam. And so that was mainly it, you know, the studying. It wasn't much social life for me there, with the exception of, like I said, the basketball games and getting together with some of the friends that I had met, other African American students, and we were really concerned with politics and civil rights, and that was another issue that I guess you could say that took the place of an active social life, an extracurricular community life, working, you know, working the Pine Street and the cafeteria workers, trying to help them and trying to help get an African American curriculum in place, and we were successful at that. I think it was Dr. Jackson, Blyton Jackson, and Dr. Brewer were able to come as a result of our efforts in trying to get African American studies in place. And so it was a full 4 years, and my sister and I were able to finish right on time, and that was no surprise because we put that first. And I majored in math, which was a challenge, but I had always liked working with numbers, and so I thought I could do it, and it required a lot of study, and but it was enjoyable all together. It was, when I look back at it, it was an enjoyable experience. Of course, going through it, it was very sometimes harrowing, because everything was new, relating to people of another race, going to the classes, and all of the teachers, you know, were white. I think I don't think I had a black teacher there. I remember I did have a German teacher, and the hardest math class that I had was a German instructor, and it was very hard to understand what he was saying because he had a German accent. But that was just something that it was sort of like medicine, you know, when you're sick and you take medicine, it might not be good tasting, but you know that you've got to take it. It's sort of like that's the way it was. And so we were able to make a challenging situation tolerable and enjoyable because of the way we related to each other, you know, like some of my sister and friends that we met. And we were able to enjoy them overall. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk a little bit about your efforts with the dining hall and getting the curriculum?
I just remember that we had regular meetings with the Black Student Movement And Jack McLean was our president. He was a chemistry major, very intelligent. In fact, he helped tutor me in chemistry when I was taking chemistry. Preston Dobbins was very active. He was another one of our leaders. And I don't remember the specific issues that the cafeteria workers were facing, but I remember it was hours and pay were the things that stick out in my mind as far as the things that we were trying to help them with and get some relief. And so we met with them numerous times, and I'm sure there must have been meetings with the administration on that, and I believe we came together with a list of things that we wanted to see done, and both of those things, you know, were on the list, and with the curriculum, like I say, and so we spent a lot of time working, you know, trying to get strategies together and pursuing those two issues. And, some of the details I don't remember as far as what we did with Lenore cafeteria, but I have heard some other students say that they recall Lenore also, and how the students would congregate in Lenore and in connection with our plans to help the workers and the curriculum. Mm-hmm.
So that list you spoke about, do you remember anything else that was on the list, or were those only two things?
I can't recall anything more than the cafeteria workers and the African studies, African American studies.
So you said you were a member of BSM,
yes.
The secretary.
Mm-hmm.
What was the atmosphere like within the group?
Oh, we were very serious. I can recall Jack's facial expression now. You know, it was just something that we had to do because we felt that it was our responsibility to help them. We were coming from all parts of mostly North Carolina, and then we were faced with people, blacks, who didn't have as much education as we did, as we were trying to get, and we felt that we were obligated to help them to better their lives. And we felt that we were situated in a place where we were in a position to help them and to speak up for them because they were not able to speak up for themselves. Mm-hmm.
And when you say them, you're talking about the black community in general?
The cafeteria workers.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't recall the black community. I don't recall any. I know there were sit-ins at the time, and demonstrations and so forth. And I do believe my sister had participated in one of those. But I don't recall ever going. Well, I know I didn't go to jail because I probably would have remembered that. But I know that some of the students before us, you know, went to jail to, you know, as part of the civil rights marches and demonstrations and that sort of thing.
So you mentioned someone named Jax. Who exactly?
Jack McClane.
Who exactly was that?
He was the president of our Black student movement. When I was the secretary, he was the president. So I would take minutes, and it seems like we met near Franklin Street at one of the buildings near the planetarium. And he's down in North Carolina. He and two other of our classmates who were in our class, Larry White and Roosevelt Randolph, went to Florida and finished law school there, and they went into private practice.
Mm-hmm. So, what about the attitudes towards the Black student movement or the people that like weren't in it? So,
well, it was I don't recall any angst. There was a lot of kind of isolationist type attitudes. Anyway, we were together. The Blacks stuck together, and then the Whites were more or less together. Not so much against us, but just not involved, because we had a mission that we were concerned with, and they were friendly, but it was just that the social fabric of the South was such that it was a segregated society, and Carolina was just a microcosm of that society, and so I don't recall any fighting, any verbal abuse or anything between the larger community and the Black student movement, because we weren't antagonizing the students. It was mainly the administration that we were bringing to task over the issues relating to the cafeteria workers and the curriculum. The students, it just didn't concern them. If it did, it didn't concern them to the extent that it concerned us. But to us, it was something that we had to do. And we felt, we had a feeling of responsibility, to look out for our fellow Blacks, our fellow human beings. And that's what we were about. Now the girls in the dormitory were very friendly. Again, it was a segregated situation. My roommate and her friend were unusually interactive with us, with me and my sister. And my sister and her roommate were interactive. They had a good relationship, but more or less, the dates, all of the girls, you first year at college, you're concerned about going out on dates and all, of course. And so everybody was, that was the main thing on, it seemed that that was the main thing on a lot of the girls' minds, going out on a date, maybe joining a sorority, going with a guy who was in a fraternity, that sort of thing. And because there were no minority sororities or fraternities at the time. So that was not an option for us, because that was a big part of the social life of most of the students. or a lot of the students at Carolina was, you know, the Greek life, but that again was not something that we were involved in. That was just not something that we could participate in, and so that was why we went on. You know, again, I was out of town a lot back in Durham, and my sister was with her friend, and they would travel. I can't recall if she was in the band or not. I don't believe she was. But yeah.
Are you familiar with, like, BSM's current projects and efforts and how?
No, I have heard through the years that they were involved. Let's see, there was a house that they were able to have built, or was it Fannie Lou Hamer? Yes, I recall. I believe that was Black Student Movement, right? Was it? Mm-hmm.
All right, yes. So besides the obvious, like, racial relations on campus, were there any other issues going on, like, you know, the war and any other things that you were involved in?
Well, I believe the Vietnam War was beginning to get started, and there was sort of an ominous thing with the young men in my class and some of the ones I knew, that, you know, it was something hanging over their heads as far as whether they would be drafted. And I remember some of the classmates I had from high school went to Vietnam and never made it back. So that was just part of the what we were facing as a country, and as young people coming of age, you know, you're trying to get your education, and then you're trying to get a job, you're trying to figure out what you're going to do with your life, and at the same time you're concerned with the state of Black America, you know, with the civil rights struggle and how Blacks were treated differently than whites, and we were trying to do an experiment, I guess you would say, because my parents were educated in segregated schools, both of them. My father went to Morehouse and my mother went to Spelman. They were both, you know, HBCU schools, and that's where they met. And so fast forward 20 years or so from the time they got married, and then they have these three children, and they were, even though my father sent my brother to Morehouse, that didn't work out, and then he came to Carolina. So they were, in a sense, trying to see if we could integrate and see what would happen if we tried the integration method, which was different from what they did, and it was different from what we had experienced, you know, coming up. And so we really didn't have a choice. My sister and I wanted to go to Spelman because we thought that would be something that we would enjoy, you know, go and get a Morehouse man like my mother did. Or we thought about Howard, or we didn't think about North Carolina Central because that was at home. We knew we wanted to get away from home, but it was just not something that was on the minds of the ones who were going to pay for it. And so it was just expedient for us to go to Carolina. And I'm sure it was in my father's mind that he wanted us to participate in this experiment of integration. Yeah.
So how did your parents react to like the story you told me about your roommates and the struggle. They were they supportive? Were they?
Oh yeah, they were very supportive, but they were. They always supported us in what we did, and they kind of thought it was a little comical, because it was here we were doing something new, and then we didn't know how things were going to work out, but that was the first thing that I remember going to the school. And primacy is very important sometimes in life, when the first thing, because I remember when I was practicing law and taking classes on how you litigate, you try to put the most important thing in a jury's mind first. And so that was the first thing that we were hit with when we went to Carolina. And so it sort of set the tone. If it hadn't happened, then we might have had a different mindset, but that brought home what we were faced with, that we really were in a different place. And we really were gonna have to pull some more resources in the way we reacted. We weren't mean or angry at whites. It was just that we didn't know them, they didn't know us. And it was just something that we had to go through to experience. And I'm sure that it was something that helped us in dealing with whatever else we had to deal with, because we knew. Only thing we knew was the way that we had been brought up to treat people fairly. And so that's what we did. We tried to do. And so it worked out in the end.
What about any experiences that stick out with your professors or with the administration, like personal experiences that you remember?
I remember... Let's see. Experiences with professors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I remember Dr. Sonner. He was my math instructor. I think it was advanced calculus, and that was very challenging because, like I say, I couldn't understand his accent that much. But after I got through that, that was pretty good. And I had to take, they had a system whereby if you wanted to get a Bachelor of Science in math, you had to take physics, a certain level of physics and chemistry. And I didn't want to take anything but the basic physics and chemistry. So I did the Bachelor of Arts, and that way I had to have 5 to 7 sciences, but you know, you could choose astronomy, you could choose the basic courses in like 5 to 7 areas, so that's what I did. And that was good. Let's see, I remember that I don't remember if it was a minor in history or African history, I believe it was, that I enjoyed that. I did a paper, I think it was on Patrice Lumumba, and I enjoyed that. And I remember taking music, and I enjoyed that. But I didn't have any real problems with the instructors. We just, you know, it was pretty cut and dried. You know, getting up in the morning was one of the challenges. Sometimes I would have 8 o'clock classes, and that was new, having to get up and go across, walk across the campus to a class when I was used to being driven to school. But the math, let's see, the chemistry was the most challenging too, because that's the one that Jack McLean tutored me on. He helped me get through that course, and after I got through that, that was it for chemistry. I never looked at another chemistry book. But French, I never really liked foreign languages, and but I had taken French in high school, so I was able to place, I think, French 3 or 4. So I only had, I think, 1 or 2 semesters of French, which I was glad about that. And let's see, I took political science. That was a different kind of class, but I only took 1 class of that. And I worked at the library, I think it was in the summer of maybe my first year, after my first year or before the first year. So that was different to Louise D. Hall, and that was fun.
Do you mind going back a little bit to
mm-hmm.
Just the Black student movement and the 2 very important things they are fighting for? I'd just really like just to hear some specifics about it, if you remember.
Like I say, the only thing I remember about what we did, or what the issues were with the cafeteria workers, they were striking because of the pay and the hours. And and the other was that there were no African American Studies department at Carolina. We thought that with Carolina being of the caliber school that it was, that we needed to have more diversity in the studies, that the students there should be able to learn more about their own history and their own roots than just studying, you know, other nationalities. And so we thought that was very important. And I'm sure we probably had some things on the agenda relating to the demonstrations and the marches that were going on, because that was part of what was going on at the time. And like I said, we didn't go to jail, even though, like I said, some of the other students in previous classes did go to jail in fighting for civil rights. That was one of the things that I remember. There was a phrase about "I'm black and I'm proud." That was around the same time, and so it was during the time, you know, we had afros and we would grow our hair long and natural, and it was it was just a time that we realized that we could be proud or should be proud of who we were. And with that pride came an obligation to work for the betterment of our race, of our people. And I remember we would joke a lot, you know, and have fun because we were just kids. I mean, 17, 18 years old. But when we would socialize, we would be talking about what we needed to do and what needed to happen, not just on Carolina's campus, but, you know, in America, because we knew that we were just there for a short time, but we were going to be facing the larger society when we left. And so we were getting our mindsets ready for what we would be facing, and working, talking things over, different issues, so that we could know how to address things as we went forward. So it was a fun thing to do, because we got a sense of satisfaction of helping people, but it was like I say, it was a responsibility that we had. And nobody told us that you have to do this. But it came from within. And so that's the way it was.
So to get to that point where they're, did you just go and sit with the administration? Like, did you write letters? Did you have speeches? Like, how were your goals accomplished? Like, what did you actually do?
Yeah, that's a good question. It was, I know, I recall, if I recall correctly, we did put things in writing and, you know, present them to the administration. And I don't recall sitting in a meeting with the chancellor, but I believe that there were meetings with some of our members. Probably the leaders had meetings numerous times with the administration. And it was never a situation where we were disrespectful or anything. It was very peaceful and that type of thing. Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is kind of unrelated, but when you were talking about getting introduced to coffee, and I think you said Nodos,
yes. Are you familiar with Nodos?
No,
yeah, it's a pill. It's a little white pill. And I have no idea what is in it. I don't even know if it's on the market now. But all you did was just take it with some water or juice, and you would just be up for hours, just as alert as as everything. That's what got us through the coffee and the no-dos.
Okay. What about your most joyous time at UNC?
Oh, I would say it was probably with my sister and our friends, just hanging out, just enjoying each other, laughing and talking. And sometimes we would go to different go into the games and go over to Lum's after, you know, and get a hot dog. And then times with Glenda, hanging out with her, and Marlene was the other girl's name, and that was fun, enjoyable. Mm-hmm.
So besides the ladies you just mentioned, do you remember meeting any like significant people that maybe you're still in contact with, or?
Oh, let's see. I I wish I were in contact with Glenda. I have tried over the years to see if I could connect with her, but I haven't been able to. Let's see, that's my sister and her husband, and Donnie. I saw Donnie. I was able to reconnect with some people that went to school with us at the last reunion, which is where I met your supervisor. Donnie was in the class with me, Donnie Hoover. And so we had fun just recollecting, reminiscing on different things. And let's see. But most of us have gone on, dispersed in different pathways. Life takes you down different pathways, and we weren't able to, you know, stay in touch. And I saw Angie Bryant, was another student who came in with my brother-in-law's class, and we were able to talk the other month, and it was good seeing her. And but most of them, you know, I haven't really seen. I think Ellis Stanley was another student that came in 2 years behind me, and I was able to see him the last time, which was a couple of years ago, when he came back to the Pioneer. It was a dinner then, and I think he's in Atlanta now. But yeah, it was just a handful of us, you know. And
so, what about life after graduating from UNC? What did you do after?
Well, after I finished Carolina, I went to work in Alexandria, Virginia, at I guess you'd call it Arlington, at the Navy Department. It was a civilian personnel job, and I worked there for a year, and then I came back home and went to law school at North Carolina Central, and then after that I transferred to Boston College, and that's where I finished. And so after Boston, I went back to D.C. and practiced for years, and then came back home. And so it's been nice being back in North Carolina.
So is that still what you do now?
Well, I do contract work now, which is I work for a consulting company who consults with the larger law firms in commercial litigation, and I conduct electronic discovery on issues dealing with banks. And, so it's a little different from private practice, where I would basically represent people on different issues, civil, criminal, estate issues. And this is basically, like I said, banks, and it's working, you know, for the corporate America on the legal side, legal analytical side. So it's, I guess throughout, it's, like I was saying, even from the time I was in elementary school, I liked the learning process. And so that's carried on. My interest in law is, as I'm talking now, I'm thinking it's probably because I like learning new things, and, you know, this contract work is an opportunity to learn different areas of law that I might not have been involved in if I were just representing an individual. So in that sense, it's challenging.
So what about your family?
Oh, my family's fine. My sister and brother are in North Carolina, so I see them frequently. My brother's in Durham. My sister's in Laurinburg. My mother and father, of course, passed years ago. But they made an indelible impact on our lives and, you know, still part of us. But yeah, my sister and brother and I are still very close, and we all have our children, and so all the children are close, and we enjoy getting together.
And about your children, how many children do you
have? I have two sons, Patrick and Reggie. Patrick is 31. He's a social worker in Washington. He's a resident initiatives coordinator, working to provide services for fixed income residents in Washington, seniors and families. And my younger son is 29, and he was pursuing a master's in marine biology at Nova Southeastern in Fort Lauderdale. So he got his advanced scuba diving certification, and so he enjoys two jobs where he's working with fish, and one, he gets to do scuba diving for the Rainbow Restaurant Cafe, and take care of the fish, and the other one, he gets to take care of them and sell them. So they're doing fine. I'm very proud of them.
Where were they born?
They were born in Washington, D.C.
So when did they move? Which year did you move back?
Moved back in, let's see, 92. They were 7 and 6 then. And yeah, moved back then. They were in elementary school. So they matriculated through the Durham Public School System. Graduated from Jordan High School, then went to A&T. So they both were students at HBCU. So we go full circle from my parents were graduates of HBCUs, and then my siblings, my sister and I, graduates of, like I said, Carolina, and then my children, graduates of HBCUs, and my sister's children, let's see, two at HBCUs and one Duke. And then my brother's children, one Carolina. My brother's daughter graduated from Carolina. And his son is a postal employee. He had attended Florida, which is a HBCU.
Alright, so if there's one thing that you haven't told me yet, or that you think you'd like everyone to know about your time as a student at UNC, what would it be? Looking back.
Let's see, looking back. That's a hard one. That I haven't told you. I can't really think of anything that we haven't gone over. I didn't tell you about Charlie Scott. Charlie was one of the basketball stars. And so he came to Carolina. He was there when my sister and I went. and he and a friend of his and my sister and I would double date, and so that was fun. We enjoyed that, enjoyed going to the games and seeing him play. And Leroy was majoring in astrophysics and minoring in thermodynamics. That was what his plans were at first, but that was just part of the social set. And I remember Charlie would come out to the quadrangle, you know, the area in front of the library.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was so popular. And so everybody would just come out and shake his hands, and he would just enjoy that. And, but overall, it was a good experience. And it's helped to shape our views, or at least mine, of integration, and I'm glad I did have a chance to go there, because we live in a society where we have to learn to get along with everybody, and I guess it was my foray into learning to get along with people who come from different backgrounds, like I said, Glenda and Marlene, and just learning that even though people come from different backgrounds, they're just people. Everybody's human. And I think we're, as a culture, we're going through different things now. I sometimes feel like we're going backwards, but what I learned is that, you know, people are people, even though they have different experiences, different pasts, and we all, you know, we all want to live the best life that we can live and do the things that we enjoy and be able to support ourselves and have a family and enjoy our family and whatever color a person is, that's mostly what they want to do. And so that's where I really learned that, you know, people are people, and that's, I guess I could sum up the whole experience.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, do you have any questions for me?
No.
That was my last one, so.
Oh, okay.